Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
Today is a special day. Why is today a special day? What is today? Pentecost. Go. Glory. Little less than 2,000 years ago, in about 10 years, it'll be the 2,000th anniversary of the Holy Spirit being poured out into the people of God. I'm going to talk to this side. Pentecost. When you hear this sound, tick-tock, 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 does it do anything to you? I think it depends entirely on your expectation of the future. If you have like a meeting that you are not looking forward to, the clock goes tick, 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 tick. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, just break the clock, turn the clock off. But if you are waiting for your vacation, your sort of, you know, Fred Flintstone, yabba dabba do, you know, kind of time, then the clock is going tick, tock, tick. It depends entirely on your expectation of the future, of what's coming. And I'll say this, if you have no expectation of the future, I think the clock just goes tick, tock, tick, tock. Ever been home alone? I have never been home alone. I have 9 children. I'm wondering, what's it like? What's it feel like to be all by yourself and quiet? You know that sound of the clock, right? That could just be the sound of boredom, right? God has installed in his covenant a clock, a ticking clock. Pentecost comes from the Greek word for 50 days, Pentecoste, 50 days. It was a ticking clock from the Sunday of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The clock started ticking. 50 days. God has installed in his covenants alarms. What's your favorite alarm sound? Is it the harp one? You might as well stay asleep. Nothing important is happening. I don't know what the lullaby alarm is for. I don't know who designed this. Kids, us old school people, we know what alarms sound like. It sounds like meh, meh, meh. That's when alarms meant something. God has installed 3 alarms in his covenantal clock. In Deuteronomy 16, he called the children of Israel to appear before him 3 times a year. Pentecost was one of them. It's one, right in the middle. There are 3 of them. There's Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, if you notice in Pentecost, it's 50 days. Does anybody know the significance of 50? If it's your 50th anniversary, it is your jubilee. You familiar with this term? It comes from the Hebrew word yovel, which is the sound of a horn. It is an alarm. It is an alarm that declared, hey, guess what, you guys? All of your debts are cleared. Praise Jesus. That sounds better than meh, meh. But these alarms that go off 50 days, the Jubilee is a declaration of freedom. And actually, every one of these alarms is a declaration of freedom. Passover, the first alarm, when Jesus died in Jerusalem on the cross on Passover, that first alarm declared the freedom of the people of God. Remember, it was a memorial to the freedom out of slavery in Egypt. That's what Passover is. And then Jesus set us all free from the captivity and slavery of sin. Any free men this morning? Any free woman here? He whom the Son sets free, come on, say it, is free. Let's try that again. He whom the Son sets free is free. Are you free? The first alarm is a freedom from sin. The second alarm, Pentecost, is a freedom from your flesh. I don't know if you notice who here is free from sin, but also recognize, now, why in the world do I keep sinning? Anybody? All right, so we're going to pray for you afterwards. That's all of us. But there is a key to freedom from your flesh. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. See, if by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, we will live. How do you deal with the flesh? By the Spirit. You have the key to liberty from your flesh. It is by the Spirit, and it is not by anything else. Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, he once said, if you want to know how bad you are, just try to be good. But by the Spirit, come on, by the Spirit. Let me ask the spouses, how much better do you like the other spouse when they are filled with the Holy Spirit? Hello. By the Spirit, we have freedom from the flesh. Last one, the last alarm of freedom, of liberty, is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the freedom from this corrupt world. Who's looking forward to that day? Who's looking forward to that freedom? See, we live in this world, but who has ever felt the agonizing of it? Oh, God, I'm longing for something else. I'm longing for a kingdom come. Who's longing for that? You're going to feel some freedom one day. Your feet are going to leave the ground. You're going to hear an alarm clock go off. And you're going to go, whoa. God has built in a clock in his covenant. Those three alarms to it. Alarms for freedom in our life. Amen. Praise God. But our freedom is entirely connected to our intimacy with God. His presence in our life. His nearness. There is no freedom without God. Lord said, go on to the promised land by yourself. And Moses said, uh-uh. There's nothing good without you, God. There's nothing good about us without you. The thing that's special about us is you in us. You with us. And so in Pentecost, we have the two gifts of Pentecost. The two gifts that bring intimacy, nearness to God. You might not know this. Now, what is the gift of Pentecost that you probably are instantly familiar with? Say it out loud. No, that's right. No, yes, it was right. I'll be that terrible Sunday school teacher. I'm not answering no questions no more. He's clearly thinking of something else. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. You got it right on. The Holy Spirit. But guess what happened 1,300 years or approximately to the day Pentecost given to Israel? The Torah was given on Sinai. Picture yourselves out there on the by the mountain. You just come out of slavery. God has brought you to this place. Moses, that God said, you're going to come to this mountain, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, and you hear a voice. You've been preparing chapter 19 of Exodus. You're getting ready for it, and then you hear a voice. There's trumpets going off. There's alarms going off. There's a presence. There's a cloud, and you hear, Anochi Adonai Elohechem. I am the Lord your God. Oh, gee, that would have been a great day. Oh, man. Guys, we have some cool things in our history. Hallelujah. It happened on Pentecost. It said, I am the Lord your God. This is the first commandment, by the way, in the Ten Commandments. And it wasn't first written, it was first spoken. And the first commandment was not something to do, but something to believe. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. And you love it too, because we read it in English, it says, I am the Lord your God. But you know what it actually says? It says, I'm Jehovah. It's telling him his name. It's like God wanted to introduce himself to the people that he just brought. Jehovah, I'm the one. It's an intimacy. It's an intimacy to share your name and disclose yourself. And in the Torah, in the commandments of God, sometimes people can feel like, oh, the commands of God, that's the hard stuff. That's the stuff I don't understand. That's the part I want to skip over and so forth. You don't understand it. Let me read from Psalm 119. The words of David and his attitude towards the word of God. Psalm 119, starting verse 11, it says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told all the ordinances of your mouth. Notice that. With my lips I have told the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Why is David so excited about the word of God, the Torah? Why is he so excited? Because he wants to know God. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I want to align myself with who you are. Jesus said to the Sadducees, you read the word of God, believing that in them you have life. It is these that speak of me. You want to know Jesus? Read the word. Meditate on the word. The Hebrew word for meditate, lishanen, is to talk with your mouth. It's not just trying to memorize it. It's actually a muttering under your breath, right? It is a muttering, because it is trying to drink it in, trying to ingest it in your life. And you notice he said, with my lips, I've been speaking the words of your mouth. There is an intimacy. It's almost like a mouth-to-mouth intimacy as we take in his words that were spoken from his mouth. Get to know the God who made you. It's a gift of intimacy in his word. Now, God wanted more than that. He wanted something deeper than the internalizing of his word, because we couldn't fully do it. It says, finding fault with them, he made a new covenant, because we're limited. Who knows that we try, but we fail. To know God. So what does he say? In John chapter 16, 12 through 15, Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Do you want to hear the many more things that Jesus has to say to you? Yes. All right, guess what? The Holy Spirit knows it. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But listen, check it out. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Do you want to know the Father? Do you want to know the Father? You know you have a daddy, right? You know you have an Abba. Do you want to know him better? Yeah. Do you want to know Jesus better? You know he loves you. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, talk to me. There's a spirit of revelation inside of you. When you read the Word of God, there is a quickening by the Holy Spirit, a revelation inside of you. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. God isn't just someone who knows a bunch of stuff. He's a God who discloses himself. That's awesome. Do you have a friend that doesn't talk much? You can never figure out what they're thinking? Are you married to them? You know you want to draw out what's in them, right? Come on, baby. Let's get a little emotional intimacy here. Talk to me. Use your words, honey. Come on. Draw a picture. Tell me what it looks like. You want to get into the heart of God. You have access to it. You don't have to wait. I hope you feel like, oh man, I can't wait to get home and read the Bible. I want to know him better. Do you think that you're going to come to the end of him? You're not going to come to the end of him. You're going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like that's your experience with God, who he is, because he is infinite and he is unlimited and he is beyond anything you could ask, think, or imagine. You don't even know how to get there. That's the great frontier. That's why Paul is like, man, I just pray that your hearts get expanded, that the eyes of your heart, your eyes get enlightened, that you can know that the depth, the breadth, the width, the height. God's love isn't getting any bigger, but he wants our minds to expand into it. That's been given to us. But it's not just an understanding of who God is that his word and his spirit provide. It's an understanding of who we are. You know what the law tells us about ourselves? We got issues. We need help. It teaches us that we need him. His spirit also convicts us, doesn't it? See, you don't even know how to get into your own heart. Have you? Now, everybody knows somebody else that lacks a little, personal insight. You're thinking of them right now. Like, yeah, I pray for that person. Maybe they're probably praying for you. See, the Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. Mi yidahu in Hebrew. Who can know it? You can't. Except, search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. Show me. You have access. You need it. You have access to who he is. Wow. You have access to who you are and his thoughts about you. And not just what's wrong, but what he has planned for you, what he has in mind for you. You need to know that. These are the gifts of Pentecost. Is God a good gift giver? Come on. You know, it says, what was the first gift? It was when he gave his son, Passover, right? The Lamb of God that was slain. This is the first gift. But how did Paul relates to this in Romans chapter 8? He says, he who did not spare his own son, how will he not together freely with him give us all things? Okay, that happened on Pentecost. Because the Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. All the gifts are contained within that gift. These are the gifts of God. But here's my first challenge for you. Will you open the gifts? Will you open them? Does anybody here have a treadmill in their home that when they got it, they thought, this is going to change my life? I'm going to be fit. People are going to look at me and say, dang, you fit. When you got that, you didn't think, I'm going to hang laundry on it. You didn't think that. These gifts are it. They're given to you. They're yours. They're yours. Or will you open them? The Bible's easy, you know. Will you open it? That's pretty straightforward. But will you open the Holy Spirit? So I want to give you three thoughts on opening these gifts. Three thoughts. If you noticed, what is the repeated word in Holy Bible and Holy Spirit? Holy. I want to tell you, if you want to open these gifts, this revelation, this intimacy, it takes a holiness of life. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It takes holiness of life to open up, to access the revelation, the insight, the intimacies of the Holy Bible and the Holy Spirit. Number two, you got to make room. You got to make space. You got to give attention to it. Make a place for it. When they built the temple, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the presence of God filled the temple. Make place for it. Make space for it. Give it attention. Desire it. Eagerly seek spiritual gifts. Make room for it. Number three, step out. When you feel moved by the Holy Spirit, you have to be willing to step out in faith. The Holy Spirit doesn't just tell us stuff. He leads us. And when the Holy Spirit tells you stuff, it's usually because he wants to use that in his body. All right, he's not just trying to like, whoa, I know everything. He's like, no, come on, let's all edify one another. And as the Holy Spirit reveals things, you won't access it. You won't open it up without faith. You won't. But as you open it in faith, and I know sometimes like, what I think the Lord is saying, what I felt the Lord was showing me, and that's okay. It's okay to but you got to step out into it in order to ever discover the confidence of, I've seen what God has done. I've known his voice. I have stand before him, like Elijah said, the Lord God before whom I stand. You got to step out in faith. You won't get there without it. But I'll tell you this, if you don't have holiness of life, you might turn into one of those people like, the Lord told me. You're like, did you get any ID or anything? How do you know that this was? You do not want to be that person. I have three meditations I want to bring out of Acts. The first and second chapter. We'll see how far we get in this. But this is your origin story. Acts chapter 1 and 2. This is what your peeps were doing back in the day. This is where you came from. This is your spiritual heritage and lineage. It's Acts chapter 1 and 2. You see this. So we learn from it. So three meditations out of this. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. So if you have your Bible, open it up. Open your present. Everybody open your present. Go ahead, open your gift. Acts chapter 1, 4 through 11, it says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Somebody say wait. For what? The Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. Somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Somebody say witnesses. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, can you even imagine? Where'd he go? It's like that balloon that's getting smaller and smaller. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him, and they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come. Somebody say, come. In just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So I have three meditations out of this passage. One, a power to rely on, a mission to focus on, and an expectation to anchor us. Three things: a power to rely on, a mission to focus on, an expectation to anchor us. A power to rely on. Did you notice he said, wait in Jerusalem? Don't go yet. You're not ready.
You have not completed your training.
Praise God. First service had no idea. They were, I don't know. But I think it's time for the deliverance ministry to come out. That's what I know. You're not ready yet. You remember, let's just divide the old from the young here. Does anybody remember the commercial for American Express, Don't Leave Home? Okay, that's the old people in the room. Everybody look around. That's the old ones. Don't leave home without it. Number one, don't leave home without it. It's a power that you need for everything you are called to do in your life. You can't be a good husband, a good wife. You can't be a good brother, a sister. You can't be a good neighbor. You can't be a good worker. You can't be a good friend. You can't do what God is calling you to do in every one of those places where he has set you without the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't go unless you have received the power to do what I've called you to do. And so many times, I think we head off to work like, all right, Holy Spirit, I'll see you. I'll be home around 5. We'll catch you, we'll catch you later. Or we're there in the middle of a moment with somebody, and we're just like, all right, well, I'm just going to lean on my own understanding here a little bit and see what I think needs to happen. Who has been betrayed by their own wisdom? You can't do it. I love Jesus. He humbles us all. He's like, all right, let me tell you what's up. Without me, you can do nothing. Well, what can I do? No, nothing. Surely I can. Nope. Wait in Jerusalem. There's a power to rely on. Okay, number two. There is a mission to focus on. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem. Somebody say Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And all Judea and Samaria. Somebody say Samaria. And even to the remotest parts of the earth. You don't have to say that. You know what it is. I want to give you these thoughts on it. There is an expanding area of ministry that the Holy Spirit wants to perform and accomplish through your life. All right, by the way, that's why you're still here. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he said, if I'm still alive, it's because of fruitful labor. God's got something for me. It's why you're breathing right now. You just, God has something for you, okay? But it's an expanding, growing ministry that can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. It says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of this. So Jerusalem and Judea. Now, I want to give you these thoughts. Jerusalem and Judea, that is a place where the church was persecuted. They were expelled from Jerusalem and Judea. People that knew them and rejected them. That's your first mission field. The second was Samaria. That's the people that you've rejected. That's the people that you are uninterested in. That's your second mission field. Congratulations. Can you see why you might need the Holy Spirit? And then to the remotest parts of the earth. That's into the areas that you don't get and they don't get you. That was the Gentiles for the Jew. That was the, I don't think we speak the same language here. Guess what the Holy Spirit does when people don't speak the same language? He gives us the gift of tongues. Hallelujah. To the remotest parts of the earth. These are the people that they don't understand you. You've dealt with them. You're like, you're not getting anything I'm saying, are you? All right, let me go talk to the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is what's up. He's got that for you. That's your mission field. But it's an expanding mission field. It is emanating from the source of the Holy Spirit in your life. All right. Lastly, an expectation to anchor us. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come. Will come. When Jesus gave the disciples the call and the mission and the Holy Spirit, he wasn't sending them to do something that was easy. I want to say this to you. It's not just life that's hard. Who knows life is hard? Okay, the old people know. Young people, you'll figure it out. You're like, I'm serious. I remember when life wasn't hard. Remember that time? That was crazy great, right? I did not mean to disappoint all you young people. We got to tell you like it is. But I want to say this. It is not just life that's hard. God's will for your life is hard. You don't think that's true. I want you to vision Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." Why did he do it? Because he didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. Why did he do it? For the joy set before him. Do you have a joy set before you? See, the clock is ticking. Tick tock, tick tock. I hope that you feel it like, come on, clock, hurry up. Jesus coming any day. That's not in the musical, by the way, so you can still come and feel free and comfortable that it might be any. There's a joy set before us, guys. Come on. The Spirit and the bride say, come. There is a joy set before. It's like, oh, Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That is the embedded heart in the body, in the bride of Christ, is come, Lord Jesus. I know it's hard now. I know it feels long now. He says, those who endure till the end will be saved. When you see the encouragements in the book of Revelation for all of the seven churches in Asia, he ends up every one by saying, and this is the blessing you will receive if you endure till the end. He is setting a reward in front of you. Because what he's called us to do will require that anchor for our soul. But I have good news. Jesus said, I did not leave you as an orphan. We're not alone in this. Jesus is incredible. He's incredible. He came and lived this life so that he would understand us. The book of Hebrews says he came to become a compassionate high priest. He came and lived this life so he could have intimacy with you. So he could get you. So he could read you. So he could know you. But even though he was bodily taken into heaven, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He said, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus, you in there? Are you in there, Jesus? Look, if you don't know him this morning, you don't know him. You don't know what intimacy with him looks like. Maybe you just have some religious thing that you were raised in, or at some point you thought, yeah, Jesus sounds like good hell insurance. I need some of that. And you just, you know, tacked that onto your life or something, but you don't know him. Guys, I'm warning you right now. Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. The best assurance for your soul is that you know him. Not that you've heard of him. Or that you kind of agree with certain things about him. As if getting into heaven was passing a theological exam. Do you know him? If you don't know him, if you don't know that you know him, you got to know that he loves you and he is calling you and he knows you and he wants to know. He wants to be in communication with you by his Holy Spirit. Now, I tell you this, if you feel that tug in your heart, that's God. If you're a believer, you feel that tug. You're like, oh, I love him. Oh, I like the things he's saying. You feel that, right? If you don't know him yet, let's change that now. Say this with me. Say, God, I want to know you. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I give him my life now. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.